Senator Hand moves any discussion. Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Minutes are adopted. You want to come up? So we have the, we're doing really two things on the agenda. The approval of the changes to the benefit books that came through that working group, and then the allotments to the different LCC functions. So, welcome.
Thanks, Mr. Chair and members. I'm Greg Huebinger with the Legislative Coordinating Commission. Good afternoon. Happy holidays. In your packet, you should have a copy of the benefit book, finally known as the Legislative Plan for Employee Benefits and Policies, and a summary by staff about the proposed changes to the benefit book. Just a reminder that this benefit policy establishes insurance benefits and vacation and sick leave and other policies that apply to staff of the Senate and the House and joint legislative offices. The insurance and vacation and sick leave provisions take effect when it's approved by the LCC. Other provisions take effect when they're adopted by the respective rules committees. One example of that is that the benefit book provides for deferred compensation contributions by the appointing authorities. The Senate has adopted a different number that applies to its folks, and that would get implemented when it's approved by the rules committee in the Senate. As the chair indicated, there's a staff group that puts together these proposed changes. There's a list of those folks at the end of the summary. I want to thank them for their work. They're very helpful and key in putting together the proposed changes. The summary is divided into two sections. The first is conforming changes for state and federal law, and also the descriptions of the changes to the insurance chapter. The second part of the memo summarizes changes that we propose just to clarify practices or to ensure consistency across the legislature as an institution. Under conforming changes, the first is some changes to our sick leave use policies. These changes were made to comply with a change in Minnesota statutes from the 2011 session in regards to the use of sick leave by employees who need to care for their adult children or for siblings or for grandparents. The other changes that we made are within the insurance chapter. As you recall, the LCC is responsible for providing for insurance for the members and staff. The legislature has traditionally chosen to participate in the State Employee Group Insurance Program, which is a plan that is negotiated by the state employee unions and Minnesota Management and Budget. That's done on a collaborative collegial basis, and then those terms are incorporated into each of the labor contracts. There have been five or six contracts given interim approval by the Subcommittee on Employee Relations, and so those insurance provisions will apply beginning January 1st. There weren't any fundamental changes to the insurance provisions. A couple that I would point out that were made up until now, the state has paid 100% of the employee premium. Starting January 1st of 2015, employees will be required to contribute the 5% of the premium. And the state will continue to pay 85% of the premium for dependent coverage. The only other substantive change is that beginning in January 14, that dental coverage maximum will increase from the current level of $1,000 per year to $1,500. The insurance package is a complicated program. The director of the insurance division is here, or the current and the former, I guess, in both capacities, if you have detailed questions that you'd like to ask them. The other sections or changes are purely clarifications to existing policies and are really fairly technical in nature. The only substantive one is on page 3 of your summary, item 6. Staff proposed to increase the expense reimbursement maximums for staff who are traveling on legislative business when they're out of town. We proposed to increase the meals by about $2 for within the state and by $3 per meal for traveling outside of the state. These are the same changes that were negotiated in the state labor contracts. Again, that's the summary of the changes. They're relatively straightforward. As the LCC needs to adopt this by the end of the year so that the insurance changes can go into effect along with the other state employees. We have to answer any questions.
Questions? Senator Hand.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I did have a question. It's on, I believe, referring to an item on page 56 of this handout we have. It has to do with state paid contribution to deferred compensation. And I just... It looks like you've got some additional, or maybe it's clarifying language. I guess I'd like to know what's different about this than what current practice is, and whether or not there are differences between the House and the Senate in terms of how deferred compensation is managed.
Mr. Chair and Senator Han, on page 56 in paragraph A, where we're talking about deferred compensation, we're deleting the obsolete provision about beginning in 2009, since that's been implemented for several years now. And per the benefit book, the legislature generally provides $500 in compensation, in deferred compensation per year. The House and the Senate do that on a calendar year basis because the LCC participates or in the state payroll system. We do it on a fiscal year basis, but it's the same amount. It's just on a different calendar. We added a sentence at the end of that paragraph just clarifying for employees that the House and Senate and the LCC have somewhat different practices about exactly when the deferred comp is paid for when an employee terminates their service with one of the bodies.
And, Mr. Chair, and that was really part of the question I wanted to get at, is my understanding is that the differences in the House and the Senate, as a practical matter, mean that in some cases, if you're an employee of the Senate, you do not get deferred compensation payout. Under the same circumstances, you would refer deferred compensation payout in the House. And I'm just questioning whether that's the intent, is to allow that to be the case, that you would have different kind of benefit being administered in the House and the Senate. It's not, you know, the question of timing, I understand there could be differences, but if the practical result of that is that some people get paid and others don't, that to me raises some issue about the uniformity of how the benefit is applied.
Mr. Chair and Senator Han, as I understand it, the House will, for a terminating employee, pay any remaining balance that the employee has earned in deferred comp. My understanding is that the current practice of the Senate is to not do that.
That's correct. Mr. Chairman, that's correct. And that's my question, is that the intent of this policy to allow that discrepancy to continue as part of the benefit plan?
Mr. Chair, Senator Han, yes, this provision does not change that practice by the Senator of the House in about when or how much they pay.
And Mr. Chairman, that to me raises the question then that this is not a benefit that is uniformly applied to the House and the Senate. We have a different deferred compensation structure in the House than we do in the Senate. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Senator Han, that's correct.
Okay.
And those are each passed by the respective rules committees of the two bodies.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Any other questions? Okay. Seeing none, is there a motion to move to adopt the changes to the benefit book?
So moved.
Representative Carlson moves. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion prevails. All right, on to the allocations. And I do want to kind of, since we're talking about money, I did have a phone conversation with the financial auditors for the LCC earlier this month, and agreed that I would convey to all of you and to fiscal staff for the LCC that they can come to me or whoever is the chair of the LCC if you have any concerns about any expenditure that the LCC director has authorized. I understand that, Mr. Hubinger, that you've also directed staff to go to the chair if they have any concerns about expenditures.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
All right. Not that there has been any concerns, but so. Yes. Okay. We just have our auditors like us to do that. So, go ahead.
Mr. Chair and members, also in your packets and folders is a one-page spreadsheet that shows the proposed allocation of appropriations to the joint legislative offices. The top half of the page covers the general fund appropriations. Following recent practices for the last several biennia, the legislature has made a single appropriation to the LCC for all of the joint offices, and then the LCC allocates those funds to the various offices. The appropriations to the LCC increased by about 8.4% for 14-15 compared to the base of FY14. We got clear direction from leadership staff from both the House and the Senate that our first priority was to increase funding to the Office of the Legislative Auditor so that they would be fully staffed to carry out their work About a third of the new appropriations went to the office for that purpose. That allows them to be fully staffed at 60 employees. The remaining funds we allocated across the offices basically to fund the salary plan, which reflects for the LCC a middle ground between what the House did and what the Senate did for their plans that were effective earlier this year. And so the appropriations that you see for 14 and 15 reflect those priorities. The bottom half of that chart shows the non-general fund appropriations for LCCMR, the Massard Sams Council, the LCC Legacy Site, the Legislative Energy Commission, and some telecommunications access fund for captioning legislative proceedings. Mr. Chair, that's a quick run through. I guess I would also add that the directors are, as I understand it, satisfied with the allocations that we proposed here.
Okay. Well, why don't we get a motion to adopt this, and then we can. Is anybody? Senator Metzen,
also move
approval of the budget. Any discussion? Everybody here or anybody out there? All right. Seeing none, all in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Is adopted. Any other business people have?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I'd like to have a little discussion about the parental leave for state Senate and House employees and staff. I've got a document that I don't know if it's passed around. It shows the private sector, and it looks like the ones I've looked at, most of the employers in the private sector have some kind of a parental leave policy, and I think we ought to look at this a little deeper, and I'm not prepared to make a motion today, but Senator Seaman has brought this to my attention, and would you like to say a couple of words on this, or
sure.
I think that'd be...
That's terrific, yes.
And I'm not going to make the motion today, but I think we ought to look at it and come back with a recommendation.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Metzen, thank you for bringing this up. It came to my attention that some new staff, especially that may have a new child or an adoption, are not what they're eligible for right now under current benefits are to take unpaid time off. And the explanation was that they could use their sick time or their accrued vacation time if they wanted to have a maternity or parental leave time be paid. And it just seemed to me that that wasn't adequate enough for especially new hires. If you think about what a new parent goes through to get 2 weeks of time off, you can use that if you've accrued your sick time, if I understand, or you can use it ahead of time if you haven't yet accrued it. But 2 weeks is really not enough time, in my opinion. And as Senator Metzen alluded to, there are other examples in the private sector as well as the public sector where there's more generous paid parental time off. So one institution I'll point out is some employees at the University of Minnesota have up to 8 weeks of paid parental leave. As we approached the LCC, they ran some cost estimates and pointed out that providing paid leave generally does not increase compensation costs, but it's likely that the result would be lost productivity while the employee is on leave. So I think for having a real a low cost to the institutions, there can be a big benefit to being much more family-friendly for our staff. Just to be clear, this does not apply to legislators either.
Chairman, I'd like to at least request that the benefit book staff group review our parental leave policy and look at possible recommendations and report back to this committee. I don't think it came up kind of fast, and I don't think we're really prepared this afternoon, but I personally, I think it's the right thing to do, but I think we ought to look at it a little further and come back to the issue. So.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Dean.
I just wanted to point out that we're way behind on this in all the countries, all the Western advanced countries in the world. There is no other country that gives no paid leave, and I think Minnesota should lead the way.
All right. Thank you. And I think you all got that message, whoever charges that working group. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good. Any further discussion or questions or business? All right. With that, we're adjourned. Sure.